You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to episode 26 of Take a Bow Podcast. I'm Eli Tokash.
And I'm Sydney Lucas.
Today we've decided to, you know, not have a guest. It's just going to be Sydney and I chatting and informing you guys a little bit about how we were on Broadway and we're filming TV shows and movies, etc., on tour as well, all that fun stuff while going to school.
All things school for a child actor and also a teen actor. And Eli, you can start out.
Oh boy. Okay. So I started my first ever show on tour. Some of you guys may know that. So I started on tour, and my first school away from my school was in different states, which was awesome. It was really cool because touring, it's just a different style. The tutor on tour finds a lot of opportunities to make school interactive. So when we go to a new state, we usually have at least one or two field trips, depending on how long we're in that state. And to be honest, that field trip is the only sightseeing of the city that we're in that the kids are able to do just because they're always in school or performing or eating or sleeping. They do school and we're just in our little dressing rooms and we have to do 4 hours a day. That's like the minimum. And then it's sometimes longer because there's something called a bank. So when we have rehearsals, we're able to grab some hours out of our banked hours so that we can rehearse and do what we need to do for the show while still maintaining the proper amount of hours that we need to meet. So on school, you know, we have field trips and we're just in our dressing room, and tutoring is kind of more one-on-one. But the other thing is that when you're in a show, there's other kids in different grades as you. On tour, there was someone who was 4 years older than me. And so what they were doing was complete opposite of what I was doing. And they could have basically helped tutor me. And sometimes they actually did when the tutor was helping out another student who was doing school that day. So, you know, it ranges. The tutor for us tried to make it as interactive as possible because, you know, just in a dressing room, you're not even in your home or an apartment or a hotel room. You're in a dressing room, you know, with these seats, and you can get antsy really easily. And you kind of can just look at yourself in a mirror. It's not very scenic or anything. So they try to make it as fun as possible. So every day for the last 30 minutes, the tutor would also allow educational games to count as school. So we would play games like Scrabble or Bananagrams, or categories. Is that one?
Is it?
Categories.
Yeah. Categories, yeah.
Yeah, that's it. So there's just a bunch of little fun things that they try to incorporate for tours. So then I moved to New York, and I moved to this entirely new school and new state. So some of the kids knew each other already going into school, even though we were all going to a new school since the school starts at middle school. So everyone was kind of meeting each other, but some of us knew each other already, but I didn't know anyone except Sydney, of course, because, you know. So we go to school, and this school opened my eyes to so many things because it's a performing arts school. And I mean, performing arts school is absolutely incredible. It's everything that you kind of think. And I say kind of because, yes, there are performing arts involved. However, there are academics still involved. It is not just performing arts. And I get that question all the time. So a performing arts school is you have all of your regular classes. So you have your math, your science, your history, your English, all of that, plus electives. And you also have two periods out of your day that are dedicated to performing arts. And for us, Sydney and I, we were doing all three. So we were doing dancing, acting, and singing. And that just fluctuated every day. Every day was either dedicated to just singing, just dancing, or just acting.
Yeah. In middle school, we didn't have a choice. We had to do all three. But in high school, we got to decide which major we wanted to go into. And obviously, we both went into musical theater.
Yes. But the other great thing about being in a performing arts school was that they were very flexible with your schedule. So anyone currently trying to even just audition, like, it's super great just to allow you to get out for an audition, because some schools, you know, they can give people trouble for going out for an audition and they don't want you missing school. But performing arts school, you know, that's what you're there for. So they're very accepting and they're very flexible and they're very willing to let you out and lend you a few hours out of your school day to go audition or go to a matinee, which Sydney and I had to do every Wednesday of every week. And yes, Mr. Parenti, I was just on the phone with him today. He was saying that you know, you've come a long way since you left my school, left my class every day on Wednesday, and I would get so annoyed because you were never in my class. And he said, when you were in my class, you were always talking.
The specific school we're talking about is Professional Performing Arts School, and it's so cool because you know how when you go to school, like any you know, regular academic school, they have, when the teachers are taking attendance, they have present or absent.
Oh, right.
What's really cool about Professional Performing Arts School is we have three categories. We have present, absent, and on location. And yes, on location means that we're working. That means we're working actors and we're off, you know, working.
it actually, like, the term on location means they're doing school at the location that they're currently at, because like if you're on set or something, it's just like basically saying that they're doing school on their location, just wherever they are.
Yeah.
So it's very neat. And I have to reiterate this because I know I said that, like, if you are performing or doing whatever, please consider like performing arts school. I have to say that there are a lot of performing arts schools in New York. There's LaGuardia, there's PCS, and then there's PPAS. Those are like the top ones. And I have to say, LaGuardia, if you do want to, if you are considering there, they're not as flexible with the schedules. And same with PCS. So PPAS is very flexible. They're the most flexible, which is actually why Sydney and I ended up there.
It's also why most Broadway kids end up going right there.
Yeah, and so just a heads up, I know I said, you know, all schools have their own rules and their own requirements, so just check that out before you consider whatever school you'd like to go to. So then that was middle school. So middle school was great, and high school is madness. High school, you have to pick your own major. I mean, what is that? I had to decide my life at 14 years old, but it's not like really deciding your life because you're not getting your bachelor's degree or anything, so no pressure. But I was like, what is this? I have to pick a major? Oh my God. But thankfully, you know, I was able to pick MT and I was able to continue to do all three things. And it's actually funny that, 'cause for the professional performing arts school, and honestly, any performing arts school, you're going to have to audition to get in.
Yeah.
So it's funny because LaGuardia, I mean, listen, I'm a homer, so I gotta shout out PPAS.
Yeah.
And trash talk LaGuardia. I'm sorry for all you LaGuardia listeners. LaGuardia, I was on tour with Finding Neverland, and I was unable to attend the audition, and they were not letting me not go an audition in person. They were like, no self-tapes, you have to be in person. So I was like, unbelievable. So, but PPAS, of course, let me film my audition and sing and dance and act and all of that. So yeah, so we were doing that, and I did my self-tape, and I found out that I got into the MT department. So that was great. And I was on tour trying to be in the musical theater department. So that was great. Very new. And then high school is really where you, for the performing arts school, I would say, really where you focus on performing arts and just further your craft, because middle school, it's very general stuff. And it's very, like, as far as like a working actor, I guess, it's all the things that I kind of knew already in middle school. So it is beneficial for sure. But high school was where I started to like learn and like get to know myself as a performer and really connect with just the story in general. Cause my, you know, my high pitched voice and my dimples couldn't just own the art for me. It was now in the hands of a pubescent kid and had to actually tell a story. No. So yeah, and I mean, everything PPAS has done for me, I know, I wish like we had a little bit more diversity, but we both went to PPAS, so we're gonna be shouting PPAS out. And yeah, I would love a word count on how many times we say PPAS, because I know I've said it like 10 times already. But PPAS has literally like done everything for me. Like as a senior, they've literally guided me through this entire college audition process. And yes, I had my NYU audition just yesterday from when we were filming. So yay. And they like literally without their help and their guidance and their preparation that they were able to give me, I would not have been near as prepared as I should have been. And like they're not just going to help you in school and the work that you're doing in school, but they're going to help you outside. And literally like the teachers there are there for you. They're not there to just like teach their class and then they're done, you know, like they want to help you in any way possible. Like you could literally like shoot them an email and they could be like, yeah, let's hop on a Zoom and let's go over this audition. Like it's fantastic. They're incredible. PPAS has literally guided me through my entire high school and middle school career. And it's allowed me to do so much stuff while I've been in school, and it's been crazy. Like the times that I was doing Broadway and shooting TV shows and movies and then going to school, like I would not have been able to do that anywhere else outside of PPAS. So props to them. And so then I know I talked about like doing school on tour and at middle school and high school. Then I was doing school on set a lot. So it's similar, you know, to a I guess on tour or anything like that, you know, you do school in either your trailer or like a common room when you're on set, and you know, you have your teacher. And for me, it could change depending on the job, because you could have other kids. You could have other kids in it. But for me, I was the only kid, so I was the only one doing school. And literally, we were trying to set up school wherever we could find a place that was like doable. And it was just me and the tutor, and it was great. It was one-on-one. They would really help me. Actually, it was interesting how they gave tests, because they would give you the test, so you wouldn't be testing in school because you couldn't, because you were being a movie star. So they give you the test and, you know, they grade it on the spot and they're like, great job, you did really well. Or, oh, maybe we should review it and take it again. Something like that. You know, like you could really luck out with a tutor and have that amazing one-on-one work and connection. And then there's also a aspect of doing school while doing rehearsal. Mm. And let me tell you something. That is craziness. Because you not only... Well, actually, both on set and when you're doing school in rehearsal are very similar. Because a lot of the time, you're running back and forth. And as long as by the end of the day, it adds up to 4 hours, you're fine. So, so you could totally be doing school and then, like, doing your work, your professional work. And it's kind of crazy because, like, all of a sudden, you're, like, in the middle of this assignment. Maybe you're writing an essay and you're like, oh, yeah, this is great. I'm in a zone. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then they're like, Eli, can you come to set? Or Eli, can you come on stage? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, ooh, I was really getting into it. So it's kind of, it gets tricky, not only like just doing school, but also like, oh, wait, I have to center myself and get into character and like figure it all out there as well. And then you kind of just have to like snap out of it and go back to school, you know? So it's craziness, but it's so much fun. It keeps you on your feet. And it also like just motivates you, you know? You're like, oh, I got to get this stuff done. So like, I'm on a tight schedule. I got all this stuff to worry about. So let me just get it done. I focus and it's all going to be okay. So, it does depend a lot on the tutor, but thankfully on-location education does most of the tutoring and stuff like that, whether on Broadway or on set. And they're the best. I mean, their tutors are literally the best of the best.
Yeah.
So that's kind of my rundown and experience. Oh, I did do online school, but like literally for like 3 weeks, and I was like, can't do this anymore. So Sydney's gonna give you a better rundown of that because she handled it much better than I did. So I can't wait. Sydney, tell us about your schooling experience.
All righty. So the first glimpse I ever had of what it would be like to be a child actor and also have to do school was when I was 7 and I was doing private school. I was in a private school.
Oh my God.
And I know.
Literally me too. In West Virginia. I didn't even talk about that because I was working.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I went to a little Catholic school called St. Joseph the Worker. I know, it was so crazy. We had to wear these little uniforms every day and all of that. It was so funny.
Oh my gosh.
We loved Free Dress Friday where we could wear whatever we wanted. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm rambling. I'm cutting into your time.
No, that's amazing. But yeah, so I got a manager when I was 6 years old. And I was 7 when I first really experienced, you know, school and acting at the same time. What would happen is, you know, 2 to 4 days a week, my mom would have to come get me early from school. And obviously I would have my uniform. She would have to bring me a change of clothes. I would have to change out of my clothes. I would have to put makeup on my birthmark because I was at a point in my career where I was told that I needed to cover up my birthmark on my neck until, you know, I got to a point where I didn't need to anymore. And luckily I don't need to anymore.
Wow.
But we had to do that constantly. Neither of us anticipated how many auditions, like constant auditions, especially for that age. And so my mom, just every day she would, or most days she would have to come in and get me early from school, and we would go into the bathroom and I would change and she would put makeup on my birthmark. We would rush to an audition, and my brother was also going to the same school, so she also had to manage him if he had an audition or if both of us had an audition.
And this is at what age?
7.
Oh my God. 7-year-old just like living this crazy life already.
Oh, I remember it so vividly.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I mean, I literally remember just like putting my neck up while my mom just put foundation and powder on my birthmark. I remember it so vividly. But after that experience, I knew for a fact, and I have never, ever faltered since I was like 4 years old, in that I've never faltered in the knowledge that this is my passion, this is what I'm supposed to do. It'll always be. And because of this reason, we all, as a family, came to the decision that it would be best, at least for the next year, to try homeschooling. And so the next year I would be in third grade. The next year my brother would be in fourth grade. So from third grade, fourth grade, and fifth grade, I homeschooled, and I auditioned at the same time. And something I gotta say, homeschooling has its pros and cons. Homeschooling, basically means I had a curriculum, you know, it was an actual school, it's an actual curriculum. A lot of a misconception of homeschooling that most people think is that your parents are teaching you. And in a lot of cases, that's not actually the truth. It's just you have to enroll in an online curriculum that has its own lessons and classes and tests and quizzes. And you know, they all do it differently, but I enrolled in a homeschooling.
Like, to be honest, like, if anyone is listening that is our age at the moment, like, what we're doing right now and like our school is basically homeschool, except that we don't have like that constant communication with a teacher. So like, it's literally just teachers post assignments in this curriculum in your classroom and your Blackboard, it's called. And then we have to teach ourselves. So like, we are researching all of these things, and like, we're not being taught anything. If we have questions, we have an email that we can reach out, but it's really just us teaching ourselves to let. So like, I was just backing up what you were saying.
Are you talking about online school or homeschool?
Like, both.
Yeah, exactly. So
online school, really, like, but like, I'm saying online school, like, is what we're doing now, is very similar to like what you were saying. Yeah. Of how you had to teach yourself, because
exactly.
Your parents, like, yes, they're very helpful, God bless them, but they're also at work during the day, or, you know, they are. My favorite line is, oh, I learned this like 40 years ago. I'm not going to be able to help you on that one. You know, like, so it's very just like, just us trying to figure it out. No offense, mom and dad.
It's so funny you say that. I actually lucked out with parents, my dad, I don't know how he does it, but he knows like everything, and he also remembers everything. So if I ever need to go to him for something, it's weird how he always knows this. And my mom, she is like one of the most supportive people in the entire universe, obviously. But yeah, no, what you're saying is exactly true. If you want to do homeschooling and you don't have a tutor that can help drive you, you have to learn how to drive yourself, because your parents aren't really gonna be involved in it that much. If you're gonna do an online curriculum, you have to learn how to drive yourself, and that definitely is one of the hardest things, at least for me, about homeschooling, because it was something that I struggled with a bit. But yeah, pretty much what homeschooling is you go on your own classes, and you have to complete your own lessons, answer questions, type paragraphs. You have to be in charge, you know, of driving yourself. It's up to you. So I did that from third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade. And I auditioned at the same time. It was incredibly flexible. I got to do it whenever I wanted to. But in sixth grade, my brother and I decided to go back to public school because, you know, ultimately homeschooling is hard, and we missed that social connection, especially for like middle school. Jake, my brother, who is also was a child actor, we both felt it was necessary to go back to public school. Well, in sixth grade, in halfway through sixth grade is when I started Fun Home on Broadway. And it's quite interesting. Like Eli was saying, there is a difference between tutoring when you're in rehearsals and tutoring when the show has already opened. In rehearsals, you don't have to go to school. They provide you a tutor. And, for example, there were three other kids in Fun Home with me from the beginning. And so we had this giant tutoring room, and we had wonderful tutor.
If anyone listened to our latest episode, you have to go listen because it's with Gabriella Pizzolo, and she her and Sydney share some awesome stories about their time tutoring, and they have this little cockroach bit that you have to listen to. It's so funny. I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, it was so much fun. But yeah, the wonderful Lauren Stamm, we had an absolute blast, and she was just incredible. One of the best tutors ever. And what would happen, like Eli said, is it's necessary by law that a working child actor who is doing tutoring, that they get pretty much a minimum of 15 hours a week, which technically means you have to do, if you're just working 5 days a week, you have to do at least 3 hours a day. But like Eli said, you have the opportunity to bank hours, meaning you could do 6 hours a day if you don't have to do that much like theater work. You get to sit there for 6 hours, and that means you have an extra 3 hours that you can pull from another day when you're going to be too busy to get in those 3 hours. But pretty much we would go back and forth between rehearsal and school and rehearsal and school and rehearsal and school and tech rehearsals, which is like a week long thing of when they get all of the lighting and all of the technical, you know, they combine the technical aspect of the show with the performance aspect of the show. And that takes a long time. It's a bunch of just standing and waiting for the actors. And what happened there was there would be days where I couldn't stay. I was doing rehearsals too much that I wasn't able to get enough hours in. So what would happen was Gabby, who was our most recent guest, love you Gabsters, she would have to stand in for me during tech rehearsals, and I would have to go up and do school in our schoolroom, which is so cool because the kids and our wonderful wrangler, Vanessa Brown, who she has her own episode of Take a Bow, we were designated the top floor of Circle in the Square Theater, where one of the rooms was Vanessa's room, one of the rooms was Oscar and Zell's dressing room, one of the rooms was Gabby and my dressing room, and one of the rooms was our school room. And there were four rooms in total. And so during rehearsals and tech rehearsal, when we were in the theater, we would go to that school room and have all of our like school stuff there. However, when a Broadway show opens and it has child actors in it who are still in school, the show is no longer legally required to provide a tutor, meaning the children have to go back to school. Obviously, this is very tricky because most Broadway shows end late in the day. Me specifically, my show was only 90 minutes long, but I also had my brother Jake in a show, meaning I would get out of my show, I would go to the autograph line, I would hop in a car with my dad, we would drive over to the King and I Theater, wait for Jake's show to get out, and then drive him and a couple wranglers home, meaning we would get home past midnight, and we would have to do our homework, and we would have to get up at like 6 a.m. Obviously, that's not going to work. We need our sleep. And being that we were in sixth grade and we were in professional performing arts school, PPAS, and PPAS being the most supportive, flexible school there is for child actors, we were able to work it out so that Jake and I came in a couple hours later just so we got that, you know, necessary sleep for our, you know, growing bodies and our immune system. We needed that. It was imperative that we had. So we were able to do that. Jake and I went into school together, and we did school in an empty room for a bit until we got to join our classes at a certain point of the day. And then for cases where, you know, we had two show days, like on Wednesday, we would have to leave early before so we could get to our matinee. Well, after sixth grade, I decided to go back to homeschooling because it was ultimately I decided it was too tricky trying to balance working and school and getting an adequate amount of sleep. So seventh grade, I decided to go back to homeschooling. Well, eighth grade, oh, by the way, sixth grade for like half of it, and this is the case for a lot of Broadway kids, I was there for basically half of the year, and I was not really there for the other half of the year, but I was on location. I was still doing school. For eighth grade, I was shooting a TV show in Texas, and so obviously I had to be on location. And for eighth grade, I decided to go back to public school because once again, there are pros and cons of homeschooling and public school. I'm indecisive, but I decided I wanted to go back to public school. Thank you, Mom and Dad, because I was constantly changing my mind. But ultimately, I decided to go back to public school. And during this time, I got cast in a TV show. It filmed in Texas. So I would have to do tutoring on set. Now, doing tutoring when you're in a TV show's pretty interesting, because what would happen is you would, for example, let's say you had a really emotional scene that you needed to do. You would go do the emotional scene. You would do it however many takes, and then, you know, the camera, the director would be like, okay, all the cast, you go take a break. We're going to switch the cameras around to a different angle. Well, most of the time during those breaks, I wouldn't actually get to have a break. I would have to go do, I don't know, trigonometry or biology or whatever. I would have to immediately go from this emotional scene, snap out of it, go do homework for like 20 minutes, and then come back and then snap right back into the emotional scene. And I felt, and I was very vocal with my parents about this, and they were incredibly supportive, and we just realized that if I truly wanted to dedicate myself to, you know, my passion, it would be imperative for me to graduate school early. And so when I was in eighth grade, I didn't know how I was going to do it, but I decided I was going to graduate early. Well, I got done with that, with the first season of The Sun, and I went back to public school in eighth grade, and I stayed in public school through high school, through ninth grade. So we're going into ninth grade, but here's what I decided to do for ninth grade. We found a homeschooling curriculum, a wonderful homeschooling curriculum that I would be able to take at the same time I would be able to be enrolled in and doing homeschooling at the same time I was going to public school, meaning I would do public school and homeschool concurrently. So I basically finish two of my years. I would finish freshman year and sophomore year at the same time. Obviously, that was incredibly difficult because I would practically go to public school in the morning. I would get home. I would do my homeschool. I would do my homework for public school, and I would immediately get on to do homeschooling for my homeschool curriculum. And then halfway through ninth grade, I went back to Texas to film the second season of The Sun, of my TV show. And so on location, I had to handle shooting, you know, filming. I had to handle public school, the work that I was getting from public school, and I had to handle homeschool. So it was just a constant workload, but I knew it was what I needed to do. I would much rather fit all of it into a couple years and have it spread out over 4 years. I ended up graduating early doing this method. I ended up leaving PBAS. It's such a wonderful school, but I ended up for my own needs, I ended up leaving it and finishing it through the homeschooling curriculum because I knew that would be the fastest way. And then I graduated early, which technically means that in California, I would be considered, I am considered a legal 18, which that is important because of what I can think of two reasons. Number one, if I got cast in something, the production wouldn't have to provide tutoring. Number two, in California, I will be able to work the hours of an adult. So in the business, children, minors are only allowed to work it depends on state, but around 9.5 hours. Adults can work far longer than that. And also this 9.5 hours has to include 3 hours of school every day. So you only get about 6.5 hours of filming. So it's not that much. Those two reasons, the fact that the production doesn't have to provide tutoring, and the fact that I will be able to work a legal amount of an adult's amount of hours in the business, were two huge reasons why I also decided to graduate early. This is important because a lot of productions, the reason there's a whole thing about how teens go through this dark stages where they're, you know, they get cast a lot as a child and then they stop getting cast in stuff. But then once they become an adult, they get cast in a lot more things, is because like 80% of the time, a production is going to cast an adult who looks like a teenager than an actual teenager. Because productions, if they cast a teenager who is still in school, they have to deal with, you know, the child labor laws of you know, the working hours. They have to deal with tutoring. They have to put more money into finding a tutor and finding a wrangler. And in California, if you aren't 18, if you already have a diploma, you get to be considered an adult. And you get to pretty much just bypass that pretty much unspoken rule that adults are cast as teens instead of teens being cast as teens. And so now I'm graduated early. And that's been my journey with school.
I love it. Just to reiterate what you said, that last like minute is extremely important. So just so everyone realized, look at Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Charlie was the only kid who was actually casted. So they didn't cast the other kids. They didn't cast other kids to play the other kids. You know, they casted adults. So not only are they going to be able to work the actors more and kind of get a little bit more time and more, they may be able to accomplish a little more because of the hours and all of that, but it's also much cheaper for them to do, to cast someone that is above the age of 18. So it's definitely a big thing that, that you mentioned. So I just wanted to reiterate that. So, I mean, that's kind of a little bit about us and how we got through school while being on Broadway and on set. We get this question a lot, so we felt like it was a good idea to address it. Sure, we've talked about school in other episodes, but it was very brief, and we will continue to talk about school and other things with future guests, and whether it's kids, wranglers, tutors themselves, whatever. So we'll definitely be sure to keep you all updated on all of the fun stuff that goes into being a kid while being a performer, while being an actor, because it is very different from the adult, kind of what they go through.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So just a couple of things before we finish, I guess. I just wanted to say, like, thank you, Broadway World. Every week when we come out with a new episode, they're always they're willing to post a little article about each episode. So that's been great. So if you guys want to check that out, check it out. Just search Take a Bow on Broadway World. They've literally been doing it for every episode since like the 10th episode, maybe. I don't know.
Thank you, Broadway.
Yeah. So thank you for your support. I also wanted to say, we hope that you guys are enjoying these episodes of Just Sydney and I, because it's very enjoyable for Sydney and I just to catch up. We also learn a little bit about each other. And we also hope that you guys are getting new information and helpful information and new things to consider while you're considering and trying to get into the performing arts industry. So we want to just thank you for allowing us to share our stories, because obviously a lot of our episodes are geared toward guests and not always our stories.
Also, if you have any suggestions going forward for episodes like these where it's just Eli and me, feel free to comment them or DM us on our Instagram, Take About Podcast, because these episodes are, you know, they're a good chance for us to go in depth about our, you know, own experiences in the business. And we would just love to give as much helpful information or insight or perspectives as possible.
Yeah. And I mean, so far we have 3 episodes that it's just been Sydney and I, and we've gotten great responses from them. So if you guys are liking them, we're going to continue them probably about every 10 episodes. So you have some time. If anything comes to mind that you want to hear about, seriously, like Sydney said, don't be shy. We would love to address anything and everything that you guys are wondering about. Mm-hmm. So one last thing before I go, I just wanted to say that there is a second wave of this COVID pandemic that we all kind of saw coming, and we kind of wanted to like not think about it, but it's here. And I wanted to say that I hope everyone is being safe and continuing to wear the mask and continuing to socially distance with masks on, because I actually came down with COVID. I was diagnosed last Wednesday. So it was just before we released our 25th episode, and I'm still currently quarantined. Some of you guys have reached out already, so thank you for reaching out and just checking in. A couple other of my family members have it, and that's how I was able to contract it. And just even around family, just be as safe and, you know, just smart and hopefully, I don't know, just as safe as possible, because, you know, you never know you never know what. Just be careful. Yeah. Like you never know what degree of the virus you're going to get. Thankfully, I think it's just because I'm young and like have a pretty okay immune system. I haven't gotten too bad, but my grandparents where I got it, have experienced a lot of symptoms and aren't, progressing as quickly as I was. So just keep an eye out for others, especially if they're older. Just keep an eye out and be mindful.
Yeah. So, yeah. Everyone, wish Eli a get well
soon. No, it's okay.
Parents.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. Stay diligent. And just, you know, stay smart. Stay empathetic. You want to be careful, not just for yourself, but for other people.
Yes. And yes, it is good that we are getting great news as far as, you know, our future leaders who that should be helpful. And then, of course, we have information that a vaccine is hopefully on its way and kind of getting it's progressing just in the process. All these things are good signs, and hopefully we can just hold out a little longer and then everything can kind of go back to normal, but like as normal as it possibly could, and Broadway reopens. I don't know.
I don't even remember. I'm thinking way too far ahead.
I know, right? This is like the new norm. I can't. It's just hard to believe. And I know, I feel like now we've all adjusted to it and we're kind of like forgetting about it. But at the same time, it's still a very real thing that we just have to, you know, think about.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Uh-huh. So thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed this episode. We hope you got even a little bit of information or insight out of this one. And we shall see you next week. Sick beat, am I right?
For our curtain call, we wanted to give a few special thank yous to Nikki Torsha and Cormac Colinon for our amazing music, Giselle Bustos for designing our logo, and Tessie Tokash and Sydney Lucas for editing our episodes.
Feel free to subscribe and leave a review on whatever platform you are currently listening to us from. This podcast wouldn't be possible without the help of Dori Berenstein, Alan Seals, Brittany Bigelow, and Katie Rosen at the Broadway Podcast Network, as well as our top patrons, Henry Friedman, Brian Thompson, PCC, and Patrick McNamara.
Speaking of, if you enjoyed this week's episode of Take a Bow, go check us out on Patreon at patreon.com/TAB and become a patron today. Through our Patreon, you will form a relationship with us and get an inside look on what goes into this podcast.
To learn more about this podcast, visit bpn.fm/takeabow and follow us on Instagram at takeabowpodcast, where you can contact us with any feedback, suggestions, or questions and keep up with all things Take a Bow.
See you next week.
Bye, everyone.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.